Three men were walking home from their best friend's funeral, talking about all the wonderful things that people had said about him. One of them asked, "What are some of the things you two would like people to say about you at your funeral?" He said, "I'll go first. I would like people to say I was a wonderful father, an amazing grandfather, an amazing father, amazing husband, a good community member, committed Christian who was kind, caring and giving," and he went on for quite a while. And he said, "And that everyone will really miss me." So the second guy said, "Well, that's pretty good, so I'll second that. That's what I'd like people to say about me." But the third man stopped them and he said, no, look, at my funeral I want an open coffin. And I want everybody to file past. But I only want them to say one thing at my funeral." And the other two said, "What's that?" He said, "I want them to say, look, he's moving." The title of my sermon this morning is "The Delights of Delighting Yourself in the Lord." The delights of delighting yourself in the Lord. Psalm, you won't be able to keep up with me probably with the scriptures, because I was going to put all my scriptures up on the overhead, but because some of them are quite short. But if you've got your Bibles and you're really good at finding scriptures and books, ready, set, go. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." You know, many years ago, I pondered, many years ago, when I read that scripture, I said, how do you delight yourself in the Lord? How do you do that? So let's start with faith and belief. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God." And John 5:24 says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." Isn't that a lovely scripture to read, what Jesus said? Crossed over. Believe in him, have faith in him, crossed over from death to life. To delight yourself in the Lord means to say the things and do the things that Jesus would be happy for us to say and do. And I just like to say, as Christians, sometimes we struggle with all of these things, but that's our goal, that's our desire, and that's what we want to do, so we just keep trying. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And whatever you do, whether in word or deed. I believe it means to live a life firmly established, entrenched, grounded, and founded in Jesus Christ, and to be overflowing with thankfulness for who we are in him. Okay. Now, this is a little bit longer, so Colossians 2, if you can find Colossians 2. Colossians 2, verse 6 to verse 10. Colossians 2, verse 6 to verse 10. "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, this is what it says, "And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority." To delight yourself in the Lord means to read the things and watch the things that we are comfortable to read and watch with Jesus looking over our shoulder. Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. I believe it means a total burial of self within the tomb with Jesus and resurrection into a new life through our baptism and our faith in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, verses 4 to 6. Romans 6, 4 to 6. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. In Ephesians 4, 22 to 24, see, this is why all these would be nice if we had them up on the screen so you can keep up. But the Word of God's living and active, and I just pray the Word of God's just flowing into your hearts today. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness. Delighting yourself in the Lord means a self-sacrificing you and I. A self-sacrificing you and I. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. This is your true and proper worship. Not easy to do, but we strive. We strive and we struggle as Christians to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Philippians 2, 3 to 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And I think sometimes when we hear that church attendance in Australia is dropping and less people are identifying as Christians in Australia when we have a census, I think a lot of the times it might be because we as Christians have been failing in some of these areas that the Bible tells us to strive to do, to strive to be that type of Christian, to get into our word and say, well, what does God want me to do today? What is God saying to me today? What is the type of person I am to be today? What is the type of Christian? Can I wear that title Christian and say, yes, I obey what Jesus said. I obey what God wants me to do. Delighting yourself in the Lord means a total commitment and dedication to serving the Lord. And this is where sometimes we have to be very wise, and that we're not led away by every wind of doctrine, as it says in another scripture. And we're not just serving men and serving people for their goals, but we're actually serving God. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. And 1 Peter 4:10 and 11, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. See, as the body of Christ, there are different gifts. but there's one body. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms, serve others. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very word of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Psalm 37, which is where I took that scripture for the title, to delight yourself in the Lord, verse 23 and 24. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. So there it is again. And Psalm 37, 5 and 6 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. When was the last time you watched the sun come up? I'm sure that whoever's going camping with school holidays or Easter weekend or whatever, people going camping, I'm sure there'll be a few people sitting and watching the sunset, sunrise. Sunset, when you live in Western Australia like we used to, that's where you get the amazing sunsets on the West Coast. You get the amazing sunrises on the East Coast. So when was the last time you watched the sun come up in the pre-dawn half light? You can almost feel a sun moving towards the horizon. And as it peeks its head into view, the whole sky lights up from that first pinprick of golden yellow. And as the sun, or pink, and as the sun moves into full view, the brilliance can be painful to sleepy eyes. The dawn is radiant and beautiful, and God will make your righteousness shine like the dawn. And that scripture also says, your justice, the justice of your cause, like the noonday sun, which is pretty bright. So if you delight yourself in the Lord to the umpteenth degree, you will be aglow for Jesus. You will be the light that shines in the spiritual darkness. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. Don't hide your light. Let your light shine. The world can be in spiritual darkness, but wherever you go, you bring light. If we go delighting ourselves in the Lord, being proud of who we are in Jesus Christ. But that scripture has two parts to it. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So I pondered on that second part of that scripture as well, many, many years ago. I said, okay, if I delight myself in the Lord, would God actually give me the desires of my heart? Would that mean that God would give me anything and everything I wanted? Is that what that scripture means? God will give me anything I want. So I went on a journey of discovery. And here is what I discovered. By delighting yourself in the Lord, you can get so close to him that you can know the love, peace, and joy the Bible promises us. And God's will and your will become one. And you know what happened when I was writing this and I got back? This is an old scripture that I used to love years ago, and I haven't really read that or it hasn't really penetrated. You know, sometimes you're reading the Bible and you're charging through your Bible readings and you're skimming across stuff, but then you stop and you go back to a scripture like that. And I got really convicted. And I felt really guilty myself. I said, I think I've got off track here a little bit. Because when you delight yourself in the Lord, you get so close to Him that you know the love, the peace, and the joy the Bible promises. And you know that you know that you know that you know that you're close to God. And the desires of your heart become a desire not to please yourself, but to please God. There's a change. There's a new life. There's a new you. There is a new creation in Christ. And that new creation is you and your godly desires. But you know, some people sort of say, well, you just get saved and that's it. There's nothing else you got to do. Of course, that's not right, because there's another scripture that says that we haven't been saved through good works, but we have been saved to do good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. And we need to be, as Christians, getting into our word, praying and meeting with other Christians and having a look at ourselves, holding the Bible up and using it as a mirror and saying, how am I doing? How do I think I'm doing? How does God think I'm doing? Because often we want to be not only that Christian we want to be the Christian God wants us to be. And often we feel we're not quite there, that sometimes we're a bit shaky. Sometimes it's like pilgrim's progress. We're like Christian in pilgrim's progress, and we get off the path and we fall in the mire and we get ourselves in all situations where as Christians we shouldn't be. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You know, I remember an Anglican minister friend of mine, and he used to say, we get saved, we're buried with Christ, as we read before, and we're raised, we're going to be raised with Christ. But in baptism, we basically say we're getting down into the tomb, and as we come out, we're being raised into a new life with Christ. And he said, so sometimes we bury that guy, we put him in the coffin, but he said, sometimes the old man sits up in the coffin and we got to dong him on the head. I never forgot that. That was a good lesson. We got to dong that old man on the head when he sits up in the coffin. When you delight yourself in the Lord, you find yourself loving the hard to love people. You find yourself helping those you normally wouldn't help. You find yourself holding your tongue when you should and speaking the right words at the right time. You find yourself walking in peace when turmoil rages all around you. And you begin to understand what Paul meant when he said in 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. And what Jesus meant when he said in Matthew 16:25, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. There's another one that I used to ponder on for years and years and years. Years and years and years. And I'm going, what on earth does that mean? Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Well, I come to the conclusion with that. The people that think they've found it and it's all about themselves really haven't. They've really lost it. And the people that are all about for others, they're the ones that really find their life. If we are ever to have a close relationship with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then obedience is also a key. John 14:23, Jesus replied, Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. What a beautiful promise. Once you are walking close with the Lord, you know immediately when you step outside God's will. Because instead of having the peace that passes all understanding, you will know that God's peace has passed you by. When you stop delighting yourself in the Lord and you start delighting yourself in self, God's promises begins to fade until your spiritual train gets derailed. And where there was peace and clarity, there is now turmoil and confusion. Isaiah 48, 17 and 18 says, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. And quite often when we find that Christians seem to get themselves into a bit of a bind, it's certainly not God directing them. You know, once you have known the delights of delighting yourself in the Lord, your life can never be the same again without his presence. Because there is nothing in this world that can replace the Lord in your life. There's nothing you're going to find in this world that will replace Jesus Christ. Nothing. There's an old saying, if God seems far away, guess who moved? Your relationship with God is only as good as your relationship with God today. But there's no need to panic if you have moved away from delighting yourself in the Lord. If your relationship with God has waned or seems to be non-existent at the moment, even though we may not always be faithful, God is ever faithful. And if you cry out to him, he will hear you. I remember when we actually are still committed to Samoan Church in Burpengary, and I remember when they were renovating some shops, and Pastor Rob rang me and said, can you come down and just dedicate where we are? And there was tools everywhere and it was getting renovated. It wasn't quite there, but he had a stage. When we got there, I ran up and stepped on the stage and I said, I'm going to be the first one to preach a sermon in this church. And I said, if there's one thing I've learnt, we may not be faithful, God is faithful. That's my sermon. And we went down and we all held hands, all the workers, and we prayed. God is ever faithful. Psalm 34, 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their cry. Matthew 28, 20, Jesus said, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Psalm 145, 18, the Lord is near to all who call. See, all you got to do. If God seems far away, all you've got to do is cry out to him. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. So if you've slipped away from God, then like the prodigal son, you need to begin your journey back home to your heavenly Father. 1 Peter 5:6-8. Somebody told me you need to repeat a scripture three times, because how many times years ago when we used to bring our Bibles to church, I've started bringing my Bible, it's a big heavy Bible, I've started bringing it to church again. But I can remember so often the preacher would be going like a rocket, like a Bondi tram, and they'd be quoting these scriptures and we'd all be sitting there, what was it? Where was it? Where was the scripture? What was it? So somebody said to me, repeat them three times, they'll get it. Humble yourselves, this is 1 Peter 5:6-8, you got one extra, you got four. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Sometimes we have to do a bit of soul searching, a bit of confessing, or a bit of repenting to get ourselves back to being near to God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And we need to get back to Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. It's about pressing into God and seeking his will until his will becomes our will. And what God wants of us is what we want of us. And we understand his purpose for our lives, and his purpose becomes our purpose. Could we have the musos up, please? Are you as close to God as you can get? Is your walk with God as good as it gets, or is there more? As Christians, we should be growing spiritually in Christ. If we are the same as we were a year ago, there is something wrong. If there is no spiritual growth in our lives, we need to ask ourselves why. You know, godly questions have godly answers, and godly problems have godly solutions. You may have a desire to do God's will, but you may be struggling to have the will to do what God desires of you. Philippians 2:13, last scripture. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. This is your moment. This is your divine appointment with God.